You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
And now to some cosmic history. As telescopes get more powerful, astronomers can see farther away in distance. Because it takes time for light from distant objects to reach us, when astronomers look at objects that are farther away, they are seeing snapshots of what those objects look like further back in time. In February, astronomer Jillian Wilson of the University of California, Riverside, and her colleagues reported the discovery of a galaxy that existed about 12 billion years ago, when the universe was just 1.8 billion years old. Dubbed XMM-2599.
Not the catchiest name.
Yes, XMM-2599. This monster galaxy revealed a few surprises that set it apart from more standard galaxies. To help us understand why XMM-2599 is so rare and intriguing, Wilson, speaking to Zia earlier, explained the features of the Milky Way, which are far more typical.
I think the Milky Way is a great example to discuss. The Milky Way has a mass of 100 billion stars and a total mass, including the dark matter, of about 1,000 billion stars. So it produces the most stars in the second half of the universe's history, so fairly close in time to now. Most galaxies would be forming their stars fairly slowly to begin with, and then there would be a peak in star formation, and then star formation would fall off.
Now let's talk about the galaxy that you and your colleagues looked at. How far back in time were you looking? So, what age of the universe was this galaxy that you picked up?
The universe is 13.7 billion years old, and so we're looking back in the first 2 billion years and observing this galaxy as it appeared then at about 1.8 billion years old.
And how difficult is it to do that? I mean, I can't go out in the back garden, obviously, and set up my amateur telescope and look back to 2 billion years after the Big Bang. So what tools do you need to do this?
We use the largest telescopes in the world to do this. We make optical and infrared pictures of the sky. And so we looked in quite a fairly well-studied region of the sky. We had a pretty good idea that this galaxy was there based on the optical and infrared pictures that we had available to us. But then to be absolutely sure, we had to go to one of the biggest telescopes in the world, which is the Keck Observatory in Hawaii, and follow it up to characterize it and to confirm that it was indeed as far away as we anticipated and as massive as we anticipated.
So you mentioned that you had some kind of optical data already, some optical images. Where did they come from? And what was it you saw on them that made you think you had a very old or a very young galaxy? I'm not sure which way around to describe it. A galaxy from a very, very long time ago.
These came from all sorts of telescopes. The information we had to put together and combine it and analyze it. But these came from all sorts of telescopes around the world. It was a combination. So there aren't very many galaxies so far away when the universe is so young that have been studied well. So there were two things in particular about this galaxy. One, it's incredibly massive. It already formed a mass of more than 300 billion times the mass of our sun when the universe was less than 2 billion years old. And secondly, and even more interestingly, it has stopped forming stars. So it had formed stars very, very vigorously. We in fact think it formed most of its stars in the first billion years of the universe's history. And then it pretty abruptly turned off star formation, which is something that is not predicted by simulations. The simulations do predict that galaxies as massive as this one, XMM-2599, should exist at this point in the universe's history, but not have stopped forming stars. So that was quite a surprise.
So let's just talk about these models and star formation in a galaxy. How does star formation typically start and how does it stop, as far as we know?
How does it start? You have to have cold gas condensing to form stars. So in order to form stars, you have to have cold gas. So in order for star formation to stop, somehow that supply of cold gas has to get interrupted. So it could be cut off or it could be heated up. And heated up could be by a process such as a black hole, an AGN turning on. A black hole within the galaxy producing energy would heat up any cold gas that was around and prevent it from cooling in the normal fashion to form new stars.
So is that a possibility in the case of this galaxy that you looked at?
Absolutely, this is a possibility that it could be a black hole turning on, a quasar turning on, preventing the gas from forming. Or it could be a simpler explanation. Somehow the cold gas supply has become interrupted in some way. It's been cut off because that's how galaxies form their stars over history. There has to be a supply of cold gas condensing and forming new stars. We don't know why star formation stopped, but it could be one of these processes.
You sort of said that's the big surprise, that star formation ended that early. But you also mentioned that it's incredibly massive at this very early age in the universe. And you said, well, simulations do predict that that could happen. How or why? Or why is it that you can have this kind of population of really massive galaxies in the early universe, but that doesn't seem to be typical compared to kind of the galaxies that we know of or that we're used to, or our own galaxy?
These galaxies tend to form where there are overdensities of matter, where that matter comes together quickly and you can quickly form a lot of stars in the early universe. Again, these galaxies are incredibly rare. It's very unlikely that you will form one of these galaxies. And that's why they're so exciting to study, because they're really at the limit of galaxy formation. And they're teaching us very much about how stars form, how galaxies form, and how star formation turns off. So it's these rare, one would say exceptional, galaxies that are very interesting, because they are the ones that we can use to learn the most from to tune the models. So the future generations, next generations of models have to incorporate complex enough physics to be able to produce these massive and yet quiescent galaxies.
That was Gillian Wilson explaining the team's research to Zia. On the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast, you'll find a link to their paper, which appeared in the Astrophysical Journal in February.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you again to Dave Sloan, Chandra Prescott-Weinstein, Ken Wharton, Nao Tsuchiya, Kavan Modi, Angela Saini, and Gillian Wilson.
As always, you can reach us by email at podcast@fqxi.org, on Twitter @FQXI, or on Facebook @FQXI Physics. And if you want to contact us in response to the Black Lives Matter statement with positive ideas of what FQXI can do, then please email Dave Sloan at Sloan, S-L-O-A-N, at FQXI.org, and Anthony Aguirre at Aguirre, A-G-U-I-R-R-E, at FQXI.org. And with that, thank you for listening.
He's been Brendan Foster.
And she's been Zia Murali.